Hi everyone and welcome back to the Mystic Podcast. So we are back after our 1 week hiatus and I can't believe that we are halfway through season one. You know, since starting this podcast, time has just gone by so quickly and I've really been enjoying dissecting each episode. You know, even though we are a very small podcast and my audience is really slowly growing, I do appreciate anyone who has come to listen to my episodes. So today we will be looking at season 1, episode 11 of The Vampire Diaries, and the episode title is Bloodlines. Just to kind of summarize where we left at, Elena finally sees Catherine's portrait in Stefan's room. So she runs off, she leaves her Vervain necklace, and she gets in the car, she's in a rush, and she is in a car crash. And it basically, the episode picks up from that scene where we ended. The car has been literally flipped upside down, so Elena's upside down, and she really doesn't have good luck when it comes to cars. You know, her parents and her were in, of course, the car crash that killed them. And then even in the pilot episode, we see a crow, which was Damon. We see a crow and then Bonnie, like, speed brakes. We see this mysterious guy and he's on the floor, but he's like cracking his muscles and like standing back up, but he vamp speeds off. So we don't know, like we still don't know, even at the end of this episode, who this mysterious guy was. But I do think that if Damon wasn't there, if Damon hadn't have come to rescue Elena, then the vampire probably wouldn't have speeded off. So it's because Damon came that this vampire vamp sped. And I did mention in the previous episode how I was really excited for today's episode because this is a very Delaina episode, I would say. If you've never watched the show, it would be hard to see why people would ship Damon and Delaina. But this is like the start of them really getting along and developing a friendship. So I really enjoyed it. And even though Damon has been considered the villain for like the beginning of season one, we really see that there is some sides that maybe are caring, and we see that in the way he is worried about Elena. Let's see. So Elena's really out of it. She's really drowsy. And instead of saying, like, you know, she's in pain or, like, about what happened with the car crash, the only line she says before she faints is, "I look like her." So she's still really shaken up about the portrait of Catherine. And so she passes out after saying that, and Damon kidnaps her to take her on a road trip. So although the road trip is, of course, the main kind of setup for today's episode, we do find out some more about Alaric's past. And in the beginning, we have this dialogue of Alaric, and he's saying how he's been researching for years, I think it was. And we have this throwback scene with his wife. And we see that his wife was killed by a vampire. So in this episode, this is the episode where we find out that Alaric is actually not a vampire. He's a human being, potentially a vampire hunter. It was really funny rewatching this because, of course, I knew that Alaric wasn't a vampire. But when I first watched the series way, way back, I have to admit that the signs they threw, like Alaric not getting invited in by Jenna, having this big ring, like I genuinely thought that he was a vampire. So it was so tempting to spoil it, you know, in my previous episodes. But yes, now we officially know that he is not a vampire. He has in fact been researching about them for years. So it's probably because his wife was killed by a vampire, he wants revenge. Back to the road trip. This epic song plays and the song title is Cosmic Love. It's by Florence and the Machine. I really, really like her. She's a great artist. Love many of her songs. And the Damon and Elena road trip begins. So they are on their way, or well, technically they're in Georgia. So what I found funny is in this series, Mystic Falls is set in the state of Virginia, but they actually recorded the series in Georgia. They recorded it in a town called Covington. And Covington is known to be home of many TV shows and movies, so it's used frequently. Right now, the day I'm recording this, it's Sunday, April 16th. They're currently doing a convention in Covington, Georgia. They were doing it from Friday to Sunday. They were doing the Vampire Diaries convention, and I really want to go someday, you guys. Like, the major cast members, as major cast members, they do so many fun events, meet and greets. And literally like a few hours ago, they announced that Nina Dobrev is going to be in this December's convention, which is crazy. Like, I'd say Klaus, so Joseph Morgan and Nina Dobrev don't really participate in these kind of conventions. Like, it's probably been years since Nina has been part of one. So the news has been crazy. Like, I couldn't even access the website. I think it crashed because so many people are going to be going there. And I'm really tempted to go this December. So yeah, it's just, wow. I was so excited to see the news. And the town itself, it's literally, well, they have the Mystic Grill. They have the Lockwood Mansion. There's so many locations you can go to. You can stay at Caroline's house for Airbnb. Like, it's my dream to go. So even if I can't go to this convention in December, hopefully one day I can go. And I really recommend that you go as well, if you obviously can, because it's not exactly the easiest location to go to. I mean, if you live on the mainland, you know, it's still possible to do like a road trip. But unfortunately, because I'm in Hawaii, it's going to be, you know, airplane to airplane and then the car from the airport to Covington. But still, it's my dream to go one day. So, yes, Elena wakes up in the car. She's panicking because she's in Georgia. And they stop the car once and we see Elena in pain. So we see that Elena kind of looks like she's in pain, and Damon literally vamp speeds around the car. He's genuinely worried about her. So even though he did technically kidnap her, he genuinely is worried if she's in suffering or in pain. And Damon mentions that she has no necklace on her. She doesn't have her Vervain necklace. So technically he can compel her if he wants to. And the phone rings, he answers it, it's from Stefan. Stefan's worried, he wants to talk to Elena, but Elena doesn't want to talk, she doesn't want to hear anything right now. She's really mad and spooked out that she looks identical to Catherine. You know, even though I disagree with the whole kidnapping thing, like Damon kidnapped Elena, I do agree with his words. He said that it's okay to step away from life sometimes, her problems will still be there. And it's important to enjoy herself sometimes. And this is a frequent theme that you'll see throughout the series, how, you know, Elena's very uptight about things. You know, obviously she's harboring so many problems, so understandably so. But Damon is the one that always makes her feel that she can let loose and have fun. And he also promises not to do the mind control thing, which is, of course, compulsion. And I was actually curious. I was like, say that they lived in Virginia and they were to drive to Georgia, like how long would it take? And apparently it takes 8 hours to drive, which is just shocking for me. So obviously, if you live in America, especially or if you live in the mainland, you probably, I think America has like a road trip culture. But, you know, I've lived in the UK and Japan. They're both extremely small countries compared to America. So yeah, I've never experienced such a long car ride ever in my life. The longest car ride I've had is like 3 hours, I would say. So yeah, I was really shocked. But I do have to admit that, you know, because I haven't experienced the whole road trip life adventure before, I do want to like do a road trip in the United States one day. And I did mention earlier that we found out that Alaric isn't a vampire, but this is the scene where we find out. So Alaric is in his car, he's looking for his ring, and because he's in the daylight without his ring, we can confirm that he's not a vampire. But they're still emphasizing this ring, and we've seen this throughout the episodes that when they emphasize jewelry, it usually means something. We had it with the daylight rings, we had it with Elena's necklace, we've had it with the Emily Bennett necklace as well. Of course, right now we don't know what this ring is, but I can confirm that we do find out in, I'm not sure, maybe a few episodes, I think, we find out what this ring does. And so they're talking about this project. So of course, Alaric assigned him a project 2 episodes ago. And if he does this project on local history, it's basically a fresh start. He can pass his class. And Jeremy has decided that he's going to do a project on the Civil War era. And we, of course, know that the Civil War era was when Mystic Falls was very much intact with vampires. That's when Stefan and Damon were in Mystic Falls as well. And it does seem like, you know, Alaric did give Jeremy this fresh start by doing this project, but it does feel like this project may be more for Alaric's personal agenda to, you know, gain some research, to gain some knowledge on the town. Also at the school, we see Bonnie and Stefan, and oh yes, just to quickly mention, there was no Caroline, Matt, or Tyler in today's episode. They were absent. So we see that Bonnie is kind of avoiding Stefan, and, you know, she's not going to reveal the secret that Stefan is a vampire, but at the same time, she's not okay with it like Elena. She's not able to just act on like normal. She's trying to avoid him, but then Stefan wants her help, and he needs her to do a spell. This is another recurring theme in the Vampire Diaries where the main characters just go to Bonnie when they need something. They only talk to her if they need something. She's basically used to do spells a lot. And Stefan wants her to locate Elena. And of course, because, you know, Elena's her best friend, she agrees to. And she tries to do the spell, but it appears that Bonnie can't do magic. Like, something's happened to her and she can't perform any spells. So Bonnie is shocked about this too, and she just runs off, and they're not able to locate where Elena is. Back to Elena and Damon. Elena is asking in the car if Damon didn't know anything about the mystery man, and Damon says, it's not like we vampires all hang out together at a bar. It's not like we know each other. And we're back with the True Blood references, but in True Blood, they have a bar called Fangtasia, and that's where all the vampires gather, and the vampires are very much aware of who is a vampire and who isn't. So yeah, I just found it funny, yet again, to compare this reference. And they finally arrive, and they're outside a bar, and I found it funny that Elena was worried that she wouldn't be let in. She was like, wait, I'm underage, like, I'm not gonna be able to go in. She literally goes to the Mystic Grill all the time. All her friends do as well. They're drinking, they're doing underage drinking, they're partying. So yeah, I just found that pretty funny. And we are introduced to a new character. So the bar owner is called Bree. And although she was introduced as a new character, unfortunately, by the end of the episode, she is, rest in peace, she is gone. And this Bree actress is called Gina Torres, and I recognized her from Gossip Girl. So before I got looped into the whole Vampire Diaries world, I was very much a Gossip Girl fan. Gossip Girl was the show that I watched real time since, so the first time I watched it was when I was like 8 or 9 years old. And I have to say that, like, when I first started watching Vampire Diaries, it was a few years back, it was kind of like tie and tie with Gossip Girl. Like, I was obsessed with both of the shows. But nowadays, it's come to the point where I'd say I'm more into the Vampire Diaries now. But anyways, because I'd watched Gossip Girl so many times, I straight away recognized her as Vanessa's mom from Gossip Girl. But this actress, she has been in many, many TV series. She's also been in Revenge, which I watched last year. And she also was a character in Suits. Of course, Suits is a super popular TV series. And unfortunately, I have not had the chance to watch it yet. So some background knowledge on Bree. She used to date Damon when she was in college. So we find out that Damon hung around the campus. And Bree is a witch, so she knew that Damon was a vampire, so they basically kept each other's secrets. And of course, we find out afterwards that, you know, Damon was kind of using her to perform spells, which is the same fate that Bonnie is basically facing. And I do have to point out, like, I like to keep my podcast very light and not kind of compare it to real life events, but there is an interesting fact that I noticed. You noticed that all the witches as of now are people of color, you know, Bonnie, Bree, Emily, Sheila, you know, Bonnie's grandmother. And, you know, Virginia was very much a state that was on the Confederate side. And so, you know, the Southern states were kind of pro-slavery, and the witches kind of have the history of being like handmaidens. So it's kind of like, it feels like it's like a reference to the old history. But I will say that in future seasons and the spin-off, The Originals, that's not the case. The witches are, there's Asian witches, there's white witches. So it does become more diverse later on. But I just found it interesting how in the early seasons, it was very much people of color were witches. So anyways, you know, Bree is, she appears happy to see Damon, but we do kind of feel that there's some tension. She's kind of holding a grudge against Damon. And of course, we know later on that she, you know, she plays a part in the attempted killing of Damon. And so she's handing them shots. And one scene that I noticed, this was a scene that I noticed from rewatching, was Damon drinks Elena's shot for her. And then Elena kind of, you know, they kind of make this eye contact. So I thought that was another kind act. He doesn't really say it that much, but he really shows by the actions that he does, in fact, care for Elena. I think that this is probably after school. So Jeremy is doing some research in the library. This is probably the first time we see the high school library, and she meets Anna. So we are introduced to yet another character. Anna is a homeschooled student. She also is wearing a really big ring on her finger, but that wasn't emphasized. Like, they didn't really do a close-up of it, but from rewatching it, I just noticed that she was wearing this big ring. So I thought, oh, that's interesting. But because we now know that even though Alaric has a ring, he's not a vampire, we can't determine as of yet whether she is a vampire or if she's a human. I kind of feel like we're jumping from scene to scene. So let me just talk about Jeremy and Anna's scenes first, and then we can go back to, you know, Damon and Bonnie, Damon, Elena and Bonnie. And see, they meet in the library and Anna's kind of showing him around where to find the books for his research. And she appears to study at the library. And we find out that she knows about vampires, and she seems pretty sure that vampires are real. One line I thought was really funny was she said, you're smart. When I first saw it, I missed it. Does that mean she thought that Jeremy looked stupid? And we also find out that Anna's ancestors also kept journals too. So the series title literally says Vampire Diaries, but it really is full of people keeping diaries and keeping journals. Like, it's literally not just Elena and Stefan, but it's these ancestors that have these journals with information on vampires, probably. And I think that's about it for now for Jeremy and Anna's scenes. We do have one scene at the end, which I will talk about later on. So let's move back on to the bar. I did always like to talk about the synopsis, you know, scene by scene, but it gets to the point where we're literally jumping back and forth to each scene. So I'm thinking that maybe I should talk about like one thing each, instead of like literally going in chronological order, because it does get confusing. So we're gonna move on back to the bar. And so Elena stepped outside to call Jenna, and she's lying to Jenna on the phone. And for now, Jenna seems to be buying it. And while Elena's outside, Bree and Damon are talking, and Bree mentions that after all these years, it's still Catherine, so he's always been pining over her. And we find out that it was actually Bree who was the one who told him about the crystal, and, you know, he says that the crystal's been destroyed, so is there any other way that I can get inside this tomb? And then Bree says that without the crystal, you can't get in. Oh yes, and then Elena also calls Stefan as well, and she hangs up on him. She's about to walk off, and we see Damon literally right behind her, and he's like, are you okay? And like, Elena's like, are you probably gloating? But it actually seems like he genuinely cares. Like, he probably vamp heard the whole conversation, But it does seem like he genuinely cares. Like in this episode, there's so many small moments that we see where he's showing his kindness towards Elena. And while Damon is outside with Elena, Bree takes the opportunity to make a phone call. And obviously, because Damon is a vampire, she knows that he can vamp here. She turns on the mixer and she says to this mystery person on the phone, "You'll never guess who walked into my bar." So we did say earlier that I kind of felt that she was still holding a grudge against Damon. So it's clear that, you know, whoever she's called obviously has a vendetta against Damon as well. So we will talk about Elena and Damon and the mystery phone call person later on, but we will jump to Bonnie, Stefan, and Graham's scenes next. So Bonnie obviously ran from school because she's panicking about how she can't perform magic. So she's looking through all these books in her Graham's house, and her Graham's comes back and she says that she can't use her magic anymore, and there's nothing in these books. And Graham's literally says that she's not going to find the answer in those books. She obviously has some kind of blockage, so like emotional blockage, that is stopping her from performing magic. And when her grandma tries to ask her what it is, she won't tell about the vampires. So Bonnie is really keeping the promise to Elena about the whole secret revolving vampires. But she's decided to face her fears. So she's gone to the woods where, you know, it all happened, the possession, the crystal being destroyed all happened. And she's, you know, really there to face her trauma. But unfortunately, she falls into the ground out of nowhere. Like, literally, the ground just collapses and she falls in. And when she wakes up, you guessed it, she's outside the tomb. So the tomb is underground. And I did say this before, how even though the crystal was gone, this is still the tomb chapter of season one. So we're still going to have this theme of, you know, Damon and possibly of vampires trying to open up this tomb. So Stefan has gone to see Bonnie. So she's gone to her grandma's house. He shakes hands with Grams, and this is a way to kind of show that he's a vampire, because obviously if they're witches, they can tell by shaking hands. And by doing this, he's trying to portray that she can trust him. So Graham says that she's not going to invite him in, but she mentions that Bonnie has gone to face her fears, and she thinks that Stefan will know where it is. And, you know, we do see in the scene afterwards when Stefan saves Bonnie and brings her back that they knew each other from the past. Let's see, Stefan has gone to rescue Bonnie, and the way he rescued her was really scary because she was underground, no phone signal, all alone. And he literally vamps sped and creeped up behind her. Like, there could have been a better way, maybe like shouting from above. But still, at least he managed to rescue her. And they jump up to the ground. They jump up to the ground, like they elevate, and they manage to be back onto the ground surface. And Bonnie says that she heard them. So them meaning the vampires. I believe it was 26 vampires that are desiccating behind the tomb. And Stefan says they're not in pain anymore, but because she's a witch, I guess she can hear the voices, like the whispers. So it must have been really creepy for her to be, you know, stuck underground by the tomb, hearing all these vampire voices, no phone signal, no way of escaping. So that is the end of Bonnie and Stefan Graham scenes for now. We will talk about them later when Stefan takes Bonnie home. Let's move back to Elena and Damon and the mystery guy who shows up. So moving back to the bar, Elena and Damon are eating together. They're eating burgers, I think. And, you know, Elena is really creeped out as to why she looks so similar to Catherine. And she thinks it's creepy that is Stefan using her to kind of be a replacement for Catherine. And, you know, Damon mentions that vampires can't procreate, although they like to try. So in order for her to be related to Catherine, that would mean that Catherine would have had a child. before she was turned into a vampire. And they're eating burgers, and we find out, like, this is just small trivia, but I like seeing these, like, small trivias about the characters. So it seems that Elena isn't a pickle person, and I, same as Damon, I'm very much a pickle person. So I love eating gherkins or pickles. So I found that funny, and I think it's good, like, if you're a couple, to have one person that doesn't like pickles and one person that does, because then the person that doesn't like pickles doesn't have to, you know, stress out if they forget to order a burger without pickles. They can just give it to their significant other, and then the significant other gets double the pickles, which is actually what me and my partner do, so it works really well. Yeah, so I think it's pretty cool how in the Vampire Diaries, the vampires can eat, drink coffee, drink alcohol, function pretty normally. It's just the whole blood thing that they have. So compared to other vampire series, I really think that the Vampire Diaries vampires have it the best. Like, I would enjoy being a vampire in this series. And we really see that Elena is just so much more carefree with Damon. Like, she's really letting loose for once and just really living in the moment and enjoying herself. And we skip to another scene, like, afterwards they're taking shots, and she looks like she's, like, the life of the party. Like, everyone's gathered around. She looks like she's having so much fun. But we do see a mystery guy walk in, and he's kind of watching them. And of course, we know afterwards that this is the guy who Bree called. So Elena gets a phone call from Jenna, so she steps outside to answer it. And just when that happens, she is kidnapped by a mystery man. You know, she literally screams while she's still on the phone to Jenna. So wouldn't Jenna be able to hear the screams? But of course, it's not a major, major plot story, so it's kind of, you know, brushed over. And then Bree says, you know, where's your girl? So Damon's looking around, he's confused, so he goes outside. So basically, Elena being kidnapped wasn't the motive that this man had. He wanted to use Elena as bait to get Damon outside. Of course, we didn't see the actual kidnapping scene as to what he did to Elena, because that wasn't the main story. And so when Damon comes out, the mystery vamp comes out, is hitting him, starts pouring gasoline all over Damon, and he says, he killed my girlfriend. First, we don't know who this girlfriend is, because we've seen by now that Damon kills off so many couples, killed off so many more off camera. So then he says, my girlfriend went to visit Stefan, and then Elena susses it out, and she says, Lexi. This mystery vampire was actually Lexi's boyfriend, and Elena is confused, because when her and Lexi were talking, she assumed that he was a human. You know, Lexi was talking about how he was in the same position as Elena, where he was really confused and stuck with what to do, when he found out that Lexi was a vampire, but when it's true, you can't walk away. And so this guy says that, you know, he was turned by Lexi, and he says that if you want to be with someone forever, then you have to live forever. So this was kind of implying the dilemma that Elena is eventually going to face, the fact that even if she is to continue dating Stefan, there is going to be a day when she is getting older, but Stefan is the same age, same appearance. And so this is really the dilemma that human and vampire couples have. We see it in Twilight as well. And usually the human ends up turning into a vampire because they want to be with their significant other. They don't want to die first. So Elena is trying to talk the guy out. I think his name was Lee. Yes, I believe his name was Lee. She's trying to talk Lee out from killing Damon. I think that he is assuming that Elena and Damon are a couple. And so eventually she manages to talk him out of it. And he's about to walk away. And Elena says, thank you. And Lee said, it wasn't for you. So he's implying that he did this for Lexi because Lexi was a good person. And he doesn't want to be the same as Damon. And I really, really feel bad for his character. We don't see him anymore, unfortunately, in future episodes. But I just felt so sad for him because the fact that he has to live alone for eternity, he became a vampire in order to be with Lexi forever. And yet, because Lexi was killed off by Damon, he now has to be alone, unless he, you know, decides to end his life or something. So, of course, I didn't want Damon to be killed at this moment, but at the same time, I could really feel the pain. You could really see the pain that this vampire, this character had. So that's about it for the kidnapping slash attempted killing of Damon. So let's move to the Mystic Grill. So Jeremy and Anna have continued their whole vampire conversation at the Mystic Grill. And I found it really cute when Anna says that they should have like a fright night watch of just watching loads of vampire stuff. And that actually sounds pretty fun. And that is totally something that I would be up for doing. And she mentions two movie titles. One is called Lost Boys. The second is called Near Dark. And if you remember, in season 1, episode 6, the episode where Stefan reveals to Elaine that he's a vampire and we see the flashbacks with Catherine, the episode title was called Lost Girls. And so I think that that was a pun. That was a reference towards this movie. And then the second movie is called Near Dark. So I've never heard of these two movie titles before. I believe they were released a few decades back. I was thinking I could, you know, throw in two bonus episodes where I watch this movie and I kind of like recap it with you guys. So let me know if that's something you'd be interested in. So I think Anna, you know, is asking Jeremy, you know, for this like movie night as a friend kind of thing. And you know, Jeremy said he's recently gotten out of something, which obviously he's implying towards Vicky. So he's recently gotten out of something, so he's not really up for dating. But I think, and then Anna says that, you know, she meant it as like a friend kind of way, not as in like a date. Stefan has rescued Bonnie, so she's back home safe. Stefan took her back to Grams's house. So Sheila says to Stefan, "Thank you, Stefan." And then he says, "You're welcome, Sheila." So it's revealed that they knew each other. So they met back in October 1969. And Sheila was still a teenager and she was an anti-war activist. I kind of assumed, like, the way they were interacting with each other, it felt like they maybe had a thing. Stefan is saying how, you know, Sheila's family has a history of protecting their secret, of protecting them. But Sheila is saying that our loyalty can only extend so far. The town won't be so easy on us either. So it's not just vampires that the town fears. It's obviously, it could be witches as well. So they both are living in secret. Let's move on to the last part of the road trip, which includes Bree's death. So Damon steps into the bar and he says that he's come to say goodbye. And we see that Bree is shocked because Bree was obviously assuming that Damon would be killed by Lee. And so she panics and she says that she's full of vervain. And she says that Lexi was her friend. She's panicking. She doesn't know what Damon's going to do. She thinks that he might kill her. So she reveals that the tomb can be opened. And the way it can be opened is by using Emily's grimoire. So grimoire is yet another word that is used frequently throughout the series. And just to put it in easy words, it basically means a spell book. So in Emily's spell book, there's a way to reverse the tomb spell. So we're clearly not at the end of this tomb chapter. It's probably going to be Damon searching for this spell book or even finding it in Bonnie and Grams's house in future episodes. He ends up killing Bree and we have our very first heart rip of the show. This was the first time that we saw someone being killed by having their heart ripped out, but it's actually a very common way for vampires and humans to be killed throughout the series. It's a common way to kill that is used throughout the series. And I guess if you're killing a vampire, it's also an easier way to kill them because you don't need a stake. So yes, unfortunately, Bree is also dead. And like Lexi, it was a very short-lived storyline. She was literally only here for one episode. But I guess her purpose was to reveal that the tomb still can be opened. So Damon and Elena are on their way back from the road trip. And you know, I really, really love this road trip, and I think that their bond became stronger. Like, Elaine has only seen Damon as this evil, evil villain, the evil older brother vampire. But in this episode, it seemed like they really got along, and she saved his life. So it was a lovely start to the whole Delana story. But unfortunately, we are swept back into reality, and Elena heads to the Sourdough House to see Stefan, where he reveals some shocking news. So Elena is saying that she can accept the fact that Stefan is a vampire, she can accept the fact that Bonnie is a witch, but the one thing she can't accept is lies, because she's been lied to by Stefan for so long, only to find out his secret. But for him to lie on top is just too much for her. So Stefan is revealing everything, and he reveals that he actually first met Elena on May 23rd, 2009, which was the day of the car crash. And Stefan reveals that he witnessed the car crash. He was on the old Wickery Bridge. He saw the accident. He tried to save them, but the car was already underwater. Elena's father said to Stefan to save Elena first. He insisted that Elena is saved first. So he saved Elena, pulled her up, but when he went back down, it was too late. And when he pulled Elena out, that was where he saw that she looked like Catherine. He was very curious about the resemblance, so he watched Elena for months and months, watched her attitude, her actions, which I found really, really creepy and stalkerish. I think that this was kind of overlooked, because the fact that Stefan saved Elena's life, like, she would have been dead if it wasn't for Stefan. There was no way she would have been able to get out the car. So, of course, the fact that he was literally stalking her for months is kind of brushed under the rug, but I did find it really creepy. And then it's here that he reveals that the resemblance was too similar. So there must have been a reason behind it. And that's where he reveals that Elena was adopted. So huge, huge bombshell. So now there's this possibility that Elena and Catherine could be related, because we don't know who Elena's birth parents are. So of course, Jenna is really pissed off at Elena when she comes back, because she says that she's pretty lenient, she's pretty loose with Elena because she can trust her. But then, of course, Elena has this whole adoption news that she just found out. So she says, "What about the fact that I'm adopted?" And Jenna says, "They asked me not to." So Jenna knew about the adoption, but of course, it wasn't really her place to say. And I think that, you know, from Jenna's side as well, it wasn't really the best timing to say it. Like, after Elena's adopted parents passed away, you know, Jenna couldn't just go and say, "Well, you're adopted, so it's okay." Like, there wasn't really a right timing. So I do kind of feel bad for Jenna, but I can understand how shocking it must be to find out that the parents that you thought were your parents for your whole life, that you were in a car crash with, that passed away, were actually not your real parents. We have two more scenes of this episode. So we have one with Jeremy and Anna, and then the last Alaric scene at the end. Anna has brought yet more evidence that vampires are very much a real thing. So Anna says that there's been a string of animal attacks, people drained of blood, and this happens frequently throughout the years in Mystic Falls. And so, you know, she's bringing up this evidence that vampires are real, but now we're starting to think it's only a matter of time where Jeremy realizes that Vicky was attacked by a vampire, because we know that Vicky was attacked by a vampire. So even though he's been compelled, maybe he's going to start to be suspicious and suss out that things aren't adding up. And the very last scene, we finally find out how Alaric's wife was killed. So Alaric is at the bar, he's drinking, Damon comes in, he sees Damon's face, and we have this flashback of Alaric going back home and seeing his wife being attacked by a vampire, and the very vampire it was Damon. So guessing that Damon probably killed Isabel, and that must be really heartbreaking to see your wife literally be attacked right in front of you, literally be killed right in front of you by a vampire. And there's this close-up of him holding the glass and his hand is shaking, so we don't know what he's going to do. But of course, he can't really confront Damon straight away because we know that Damon is a very strong vampire. But of course, Alaric also knows to stake a vampire. So there's going to be some kind of confrontation soon, I'm assuming. So yeah, that was the end of today's episode. And yet again, the tomb plot is really developing. It's really picking up again. Now there's this new way to open up the tomb. So, you know, all hope hasn't been lost. We're also introduced to this mysterious new character, Anna. There's lots of mystery behind her. You know, we don't really know if she can be trusted or not. Of course, we had some epic Delaina moments. We see Damon and Delaina getting along more than they ever have in season one. And then the shocking news that Elena is adopted and the whole connection between Alaric, Alaric's dead wife, and Damon. So, yeah, I mean, I did think that so far, I think my favorite episode has been, I think it was episode 9, when the whole crystal was destroyed and when Bonnie was possessed by Emily. But this episode was really, really good as well. So after taking 1 week's break and watching this episode, like, things have just been really picking up again at such a fast pace. But I really, really enjoyed this episode. Well, I say that I enjoyed this episode, but I think I probably say that for literally everyone. Like, there's not a single episode where I don't enjoy it. So for my most favorite and least favorite character segment, my most favorite characters are Damon and Delaina. So I like them as a pair. So of course, it was the first time we saw Delaina really bond, develop a friendship. We see Damon caring for Elena, and of course we see Elena letting loose in Georgia, which was really nice to see her just, you know, enjoy herself for once. But only to come back to Mystic Falls and have more bad news dropped onto her, more shocking news that she's adopted. For the least favorite character, I genuinely don't have any characters that I disliked. I mean, like I said in a few episodes back, I think I said it at the beginning of the series, how The Vampire Diaries is one of those unique series where you really end up rooting for all the characters. Each of them are going through something, and each of them, you know, you really want to support each and every one of them. So even though Lee was technically the antagonist of the episode, he was trying to kill Damon, you can't hate him because he was Lexi's boyfriend. He became a vampire to be with Lexi, only to have his true love taken away from him. So it's impossible to choose a least favorite character for today. And yeah, so I'm just really, really enjoying The Vampire Diaries. Doing this podcast, I'm really enjoying as well. It's funny to, you know, notice these small scenes that I maybe wouldn't have noticed before. And I love doing these rewatch kind of things, and I love listening to rewatch podcasts. So it's really making me want to do another podcast. I am a huge fan of Vampire Diaries, but I am also an avid reality TV show viewer. So in the future, maybe it'd be nice to do like a reality TV rewatch. But then again, I'm doing lots of things, so I don't know if I can juggle everything. So yes, that's the end of today's episode. I did mention the two movies that Anna said earlier, Lost Boys and Near Dark. So I'm thinking of maybe watching them. I'm planning on taking another hiatus after episode 14 because that was when, on Real Time, they took a little spring break. So maybe in that hiatus, I could add in two bonus episodes watching those movies. Let me know if you're interested in that. And I will see you next Sunday for episode 12. Episode 12 title is called Unpleasantville. And we have a school dance. So it's really exciting. I'm really excited to watch this. I love, love the school dance episodes in The Vampire Diaries. They always end up being really dramatic school dances where a lot happens. So I will see you next Sunday. I really appreciate it if you saved my podcast and reviewed it, and also connect with us on our Instagram at The Mystic Podcast. So I will see you next week, and I will end this episode with my favorite song of today's episode, which was Cosmic Love by Florence and the Machine.